All right. Hey, welcome, everybody. It is January 22nd, 2021. This is our weekly SLG conference call that we do on Fridays at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, if you are listening for the first time. But we do these calls each week to kind of give some nuggets, celebrate, hear from different people from time to time. But like David always says, it's all about just getting 1% better and trying to pick up one little nugget, because you can't learn everything all at once. But definitely it's a good thing to be connected, both in our Slack community, get on these calls as well. I want to give a shout out, Mr. Mike Jones, yesterday writing your first application, and I appreciate you sharing that in Slack. But congratulations. The first app is definitely the most important app that you ever write, because if you can write one, you can write 1,000. So that's a big deal. So congratulations. Also congratulations to Chris Hinton as well for completing your first application. So again, big deal, and just continue to do the same things. And you know we were talking last week a little bit about, you know, kind of breaking out of a slump. And you know, the one thing that John Maxwell says that I love is he says, you know, with momentum, people look a lot better than they really are. And without momentum, people look a lot worse than they really are. And it's really, really so true, because, you know, when we first kind of kicked off the year, which, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, we had kind of personally sort of lost a little bit of momentum. It's natural. And not that we'd ever stop, but you know, it's easy to kind of lose your momentum a little bit. And when you're going through that, it's when you don't have as much momentum, it's easy to start feeling like you're not as good as you really are. And so I just want all of you to remember that, especially if you're brand new, just getting going, you're going to have to get into momentum. And the thing about, the thing about most people, they want to ride momentum. They want to chase momentum, but champions are the people that create momentum. And all of you on this call, that's what you are, for the sense, again, you're getting on this call, you're figuring out, hey, what can I do to get better? What can I do to create momentum for myself? Because you want to understand how important momentum is, because when you have momentum, you don't want to take it for granted. You want to hold on to it and protect it. And if you ever get out of momentum, right, because that's life, then you need to take the mindset, I'm a champion and I'm going to create the momentum for myself. And that's so important. So I just wanted to kind of comment on that again. And the reason I'm telling you that is as we are feeling the momentum building, and we're going to have an incredible 2021, one that we remember and look back on, because we're going to create tons and tons of momentum. And it's all contagious. We're going to all feed off of each other's momentum, but we're going to be all creating it for ourselves as well. So I want to talk about something I've talked individually with a lot of you about this, and something we've kind of coined, something called Drive for 35. And if you go to SLG team and go to the resources page, there's a document that says called Drive for 35. It's very simple, but I think this is something we want to start talking about more. It's not necessarily new, but sort of a way to help simplify this business. Because, again, the more you simplify, the more you can execute. And this is so important. If you want to complicate later, but you want to simplify to execute. And so Drive for 35 is all about helping you to make sure that you are scaling your business properly to also maintain profitability. Because when we talk about scaling as a producer and scaling your production, scaling is very important, but you also want to make sure you scale profitably. We've talked a lot about this in the past. So again, Drive for 35 is the idea of driving for 35 quotes. And you can see the document, kind of get a little more feel for that as well. But here's the idea behind that. If you're driving for, and there's a reason we're using the word drive, but if you're driving for 35 quotes, you're going to find, now if you're brand new, you might find on 35 quotes, you only write 3 apps, right? Okay, that's fine. You're getting going. You're learning. That's how the business goes. But you're going to find the law if you stay in the game, right? If you just get back up and you keep going, you're going to find that you start closing somewhere between 5 to 7, maybe 8. Some of you on here might even close 10 because you're that good. But you're going to find you start closing that type of range on 35 quotes. The real sweet spot you want to look for out of 35 quotes, if you're driving for 35, is to be around 6 applications for every 35 quotes. Now, again, do not beat yourself up if you look back on your numbers and that's not where you're at, because you will get better with time. You do not need to compare yourself with David Toms, who's been driving for 35 for a long, long time, getting 1% better, right? I mean, that's like if you just start going to the gym, comparing yourself to the guy that's been going for 40 years. You know, it's just not fair. So you got to compare yourself to yourself. But I think very quickly you'll find that you can get into that 5 range. Okay, so driving for 35, if you can be in that 5 to 6 range, right, you're going to be profitable. So then it's about doing it again. How fast can you drive for 35? For example, if you're on this call and you're part-time, you're working a job, but you're also selling, you know, building yourself a lifestyle business, can you drive for 35 every 2 weeks? I promise you, even if you're working a 50-hour-a-week job, You can drive for 35 on the side every 2 weeks. Well, what would that do? If you're driving for 35 every 2 weeks, right, you're going to write 5 to 6 apps every 2 weeks. You're going to write a couple apps a week. Man, that's an awesome part-time business, okay? If you're full-time, you know, and full-time's relative, what does that actually mean? Some people's, you know, but again, if you're every day you're planning to put some hours in dialing, well, can you drive for 35 once a week? That means you wake up on Monday, if that's kind of how you start your week, and say, okay, between now and the end of Saturday, I'm driving for 35. And you use the SLG activity tracker, just like it says, I'm driving for 35 this week. Because what will that mean? If you drive for 35, you're going to probably find that you write, maybe if you're brand new, you only write a few apps. But I think over time, you're going to find that you write 5 or 6 apps. Okay, and you're profitable. Now, once you do that, you might say, well, gosh, if I could drive for 35, you know, in a week, what if I could drive for 35 twice in a week? You know, if this works for you, what you'll find is you drive for 35 twice in a week, you'll go from 6 apps to 12 apps, right? And once you've learned to do that, and this is what David and I did, but we didn't have it termed like this, but this is all we did. Then it's like, well, gosh, if you can drive for 35 twice in a week, is it possible that you could drive for 35 3 times in a week? Well, what does that do? All of a sudden, you're writing 18 apps. And then it's like, well, what if you could actually drive for 35 4 times in a week? Is that possible that you could do that 4 times in a week? And what we've proven, David's proven, that yes, you can do that, right? All you really have to do is drive for 35 about every day and a half. You're just compressing time frames. It forces you to be efficient. Think of it like the guy that goes to the gym, and I'll be honest, like I do, right? There's people that go to the gym and get a better workout in 10 minutes than I get in an hour, right? Because they're intentional, right? They're trying to compress time frames. So it's the same concept. The longer you do this, the more you can compress that. So I'm trying to simplify it, but understand it's just about how many times can you drive for 35. That's how you drive your app count up, because David Toms' quote to a sale number is not that much different. Mine's not that much different. What is different is how quickly he drives for 35. Okay, so this is just an idea we want to start talking about. It's just another way to look at what we're doing a little slightly differently to make sure, but I hope everybody will get this. I'm going to drive for 35. I'm not telling you how fast you should drive for 35. That's up to you, right? And you need to probably do it carefully. We didn't drive for 35 every 2 days when we started. In fact, we didn't know we were doing it. We didn't call it drive for 35, but when we first started doing telesales, we probably drove for 35 every 2 weeks. So, you know, but again, we just didn't quite understand all this, but that's how we started. So it's okay wherever you're at. So I wanted to talk about that, but now I want to shift gears a little bit for the rest of the call and really talk about what do we mean by
Rich,
driving.
Rich,
yeah, I got you.
Ben, you broke off like the last 30, 40 seconds.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay now? I just want to make sure everybody can hear us.
Are you able to hear me?
Yeah. We've been having a little tech issues, it sounds like. But it's much better now. I'll turn it back over.
Yeah, when you talked, it was just weird, too. Doggone. Okay. Well, I apologize, guys. It may be the conference call because when he talked it. So we'll just keep going with it. And if we have to do it again next week, we'll do it again. But it's how fast you want to drive for 35. Because, like, when David and I started, you know, we didn't understand this terminology, but we would drive for 35 every couple weeks. So again, if you're brand new, that's perfectly acceptable. So I just want to make that clear. So, but what I want to do is shift the call into really what we mean by driving for quotes, particularly driving for 35 quotes. That's what we're talking about. If you're just getting going, can you drive for 35 quotes? And what does that actually, how do we do that? Because one of the things that happens is, hang on a second. David's calling me, so let me see. Hey, Dan, are you able to hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm here.
So you hear me fine, all right?
Yeah, you're clear on me, but I agree with you. David was all garbled.
Yeah, hang on a second. Hey, thanks. Sorry, guys. David was calling me, so let me do one other mic check here. Maybe that was on David. Let's see. I'll call Mr. Greg out. Hey, Greg, can you hear me okay?
Hey, yeah, Rich, I can hear you fine. David was.
Have I been loud and clear the whole time?
Yeah, the whole time. Maybe it's the line between you and David because this is fine.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, because it's weird because when David came on, I couldn't really hear him, so it must be something with his line. So we'll do a check with him now. So hang on, David, I'll unmute you. Hey, David, I checked with Dan and Greg both, and I've been clear the whole time, so it must have been on your end. But can you hear me now? Okay now, David?
Yeah, I can. That's weird.
That is weird. But, hey, you know what? We're all in telesales, so we've all experienced these type of weird things every single day. All good. Okay, so anyway, everybody's heard it up to now, but basically the whole idea between driving for 35 is to try to emphasize, again, what we say all the time is that we really just every day wake up, because ABD, always be dialing, that's just about showing up. Anybody with some discipline can hit a button. That's just discipline. There's no skill involved to ABD. Once you start driving for quotes, now you're talking about, you know, it's a lot. It's mindset. It's everything. But it's also there gets to be skill involved. And I think one of the things, if this will help you if you're tracking this drive for 35, because, for example, if you get 75 leads and you've only got 10 quotes, well, you're not driving hard enough for quotes, meaning you're letting too many people off the hook. I promise you that. And so, again, you got to track your numbers. That's why you need to use the activity tracker in between, you know, when you're, you know, all the time. And so one of the things Dave and I were talking about this is it's so easy, and I'm going to turn it over to David, to prejudge people right when a lead picks up. And I think that's the number one mistake agents make, because both people on both sides of the line are making an assessment within the first 3 seconds of the call. So what we want to talk about is just this idea of driving for quotes. It doesn't mean we want to just stay on. There are people that have zero interest, but again, I want to turn this over to David just with this whole idea of how to make sure we're driving, like not just giving up, but like driving the football, moving forward. We got to make sure that we're getting our foot in the door by taking it at least far enough to get into a quote, because then we got a chance for a sale. So, David, with that in mind, I'm going to flip it over to you, and we'll go back and forth on that idea.
Great. Just let me know if my phone messes up again.
Nope, I got you loud and clear.
Good. So what we talk about, or what we mean by driving for the quote, is, you know, remember when you're looking at our outline or your outline, that every section of the outline has a goal. There's a purpose for each section. And the biggest thing that you're trying to do at the beginning, or the number one objective that you have at the beginning of the call, is to spark interest. And sometimes you're able to do that very simple. Sometimes you get a real jerk on the phone, someone who is watching TV. You've all experienced both sides of the spectrum when it comes to the leads. Now, when we're talking about driving for the quote, is when you get that one, or you get the type of lead that is very disinterested or appears to be very disinterested, not interested, et cetera. And before you just move on, hang up, or have them hang up, then the best thing you want to do is remember you're trying to get interest. So the fastest thing you can do before they hang up and before you lose it and mark it not interested is get them a quote quickly, okay? You know, even if the notes say they're looking for $30,000, don't quote them for a $30,000 price, because it's going to be expensive. Understand and know the client base. They're on a fixed income. So before they get off the phone, I may just tell them, hey, well, we can get you coverage for $30 a month. Before I even have their birthday, there's certain things you don't need. You just need to quick quote them, get them that information. And at that point, that might be the moment where it sparks interest. And remember, that is the whole goal of the very first part of your call, the intro, spark interest. Then you're going to confirm if they're qualified, et cetera. But the biggest thing you want to do is before they hang up, try to quote them. Now, you need to be careful when you're doing this, because you don't want to get in the habit of quick quoting everybody you speak to, because it's a last resource, not a go-to strategy. It's for those leads that, and I'm guilty of this, and I, and Rich and I were talking about it this morning, is immediately stereotyping someone based on the tone of their voice. You know, the type of person who sounds like they're about 10 minutes away from meeting the other side. And what I have to continue to be intentional about is focus, like Rich always says, on the bird in hand. Don't judge them by the tone of voice. Don't judge them by their disinterest. If they answer the phone, do everything you can to see it through. So a lot of the time, what I've realized is, A, if they have a really bad tone, or they speak poorly, or whatever it may be, they may have had a stroke before, and they are really, really interested. Everything about them is great. They just don't have the ability to communicate very well and speak very well anymore because of the stroke. That could have been 20 years ago. I can't tell you how many level applications I've gotten approved where I did not think they would be approved, but they answered all the questions right. So work on not judging someone based on their tone, and you'll realize, hey, those a lot of the time, honestly, a lot of the time, those are better than most leads, okay? So when you get someone, don't prejudge them. And if they're trying to get off the phone quickly, do a really quick quote. It's better if you can get their birthday first, but before they hang up, say, hey, we can get you coverage for a little as $30 a month. Boom, that might be the foot in the door where they ask you another question, really? Or, okay, how much coverage is that for? Then you now have your foot in the door, and it allows you to work through the outline. Now, you don't have to take 10 minutes to explain everything to them, but you do it in a way that is much faster and quicker. For example, well, Rich, why don't we practice one? What do you think about that? So we can kind of
I love it. Let me I want to say this too, just as a specific example. Yesterday, I had a lead who said, "Well, I have insurance through work," and that's how she started off. And I almost prejudged it as her saying, "I don't need any insurance. When I retired, I took all that with me." And I use my normal, you know, most people just don't want to be a burden on their family. You know, do you have that taken care of? Oh, yeah. But because I kind of kept my foot in the door and didn't prejudge it, she said, I found out she really wanted to leave something to her granddaughter. And so we ended up writing a level policy $1,000 deal that I almost prejudged it and hung up the phone, because the way her voice, like David said, her tone of voice and everything that she was giving me was, I've already got insurance. And so, again, it's so important to not prejudge the situation. So, yeah, David, let's go ahead and do a you want to call me, and I'll just kind of give you
give I'll you just go objection. Ring, ring, and you answer, and we'll take it from there. Ring, ring.
Okay. Hello?
Rich, this is David. I am the licensed field underwriter that you were told would be giving you a call today to help with that life insurance information. I see that you mentioned your daughter was going to be the beneficiary. Is that correct?
Well, I told them I already had insurance. I have insurance.
Well, that's great. Now, another thing, I believe you were given a reference of the color blue to help you remember it was me when I called. Is that also correct?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I remember talking to, I talked to someone. Yep.
Okay, well, good. So, already having insurance is a great thing. So are you wanting to just add more coverage to what you already have, or are you wanting to compare to see if there's something more affordable?
I want to see how much it costs is more affordable.
Well, great. Okay. Well, great. Well, that's the easy part, Rich. I've done this for a long time. Finding the lowest price is very simple for me. Now, I just want to make sure the information I have for you is correct. Can you confirm your birthday?
July 12, 1949.
And I see you live in Georgia, correct?
That's right. Yep.
Good. Now, Rich, like I said, finding the lowest price is simple, but it's very important to me that when I'm helping people, they really understand how these plans work. So before I get into the quote in just a minute, would you like me to give you just a very short, simple way to understand how the life insurance works?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, I'll stop there. So Rich did a good job of throwing up some smoke screens and objections. And you can see, based on how he was answering the questions, I didn't let it affect me. I just moved to the next thing. I agreed with him. I let him know how quick it was going to be, how simple it was going to be, and I also found out he has one objective. He's just trying to compare prices. So then I would have moved through the education part. I would have found out how much coverage he has, and then I would have, before I even got into the health questions, I would have asked the amount of coverage, and then I would have compared the price. Okay, and I would
also and I'll comment on level. Yeah, David, reason I was kind of doing that is from my experience, you correct me if I'm wrong, from my experience, probably, I don't have the exact numbers on this, but I would say half the time that people start off telling me they have insurance, once we do what you just did, work through and you get down to actually asking questions, they don't actually have insurance, because then they start to reveal the real story. They had it at one time, they lost it. I mean, there's all kind of stuff. But I would say half the time people tell me they have insurance, they actually don't have insurance. Would you say that's pretty accurate? Uh-oh. I think I lost David. Oh, let me do another mic check. Hey, Dan, you there? Can you hear me okay?
Not a problem.
So you hear? Yeah, it must be David having phone today. But, hey, somehow he's able to magically make telesales, so that's good. He's just having trouble with the conference call today. But what I was we'll let David come back on. But what I was saying is, and that's why the way David just took my objection that I already had insurance and then moved it through. If you get those people far enough down, let me see if he dialed in on another line.
Hey, Rich, I'm back on. I had to dial in through Chris's phone.
I got you. I got you. Okay. Yeah, it's definitely your phone because they're all hearing me. So would you say, David, what I was asking is, my experience is once you get past the smoke screen of they have insurance and you do what you just did and work it through the call, would you say a large percentage of the time when you go to start trying to, quote, compare what they've got, they don't actually have insurance?
Oh, gosh, yeah, absolutely.
So the question is, how many of you on the call are getting that objection thrown at you that they've already got insurance and you're hanging up the call rather than doing what David did, handling it, getting your foot in the door, moving through the outline to find out they don't in fact have insurance. So that's why, go ahead, David.
Yeah. And again, and if you go back, don't try to get ahead of yourself. Don't try to move, it's not about being five steps ahead. It's about handling each part of the call, knowing what the objective and the goal is. The intro is for one purpose. The goal is to spark interest. The second part of the outline is to educate them on how it works. That's the goal. The third part is to tell them how the plans work. The fourth part of it is to find out if they're qualified. Do they have enough money? And are they healthy enough for a level plan? And then the fifth part, of course, is to quote and close. So understand that the only thing you need to be thinking about when the person answers the phone is not a sale. It's, let me get my foot in the door. Because if you've been dialing for one day, you've heard every objection. You've heard the upfront stuff. You've heard, and a lot of the time, whether it's a bad day to talk to them or that might be their filter, because trust me, they get about 300 spam calls a day. These people, information is out there. Okay? So your thing is to separate yourself and be quick and direct. And even if they say, I'm not interested, I got coverage, well, tell them congratulations. That's good news. But then get back right into it. Reference the color or reference the beneficiary or do both. I don't know what you're talking about, they may say. Okay, that's fine. So I'm glad you already have coverage. Let me just compare to make sure you're not paying more than you should, because most people we speak to, they are paying too much. And I certainly want you to be paying more than you should if you're on a fixed income. So you immediately, by doing those things, you're not being salesy. You're not even being pushy. You're explaining it very quickly, very confidently, that you're just trying to help. The moment that they let their guard down, per se, or let you walk through the door, you've now got the call in the position you need to be, then you're going to be able to work through it. The moment that they let you in, you're able to work through and likely give a quote. Doesn't mean you're going to get the sale, because remember, the goal is not a sale on every call. The goal is to get the person what they need and do the best thing for them. Sometimes that's selling them a policy. Sometimes it's confirming what they have is the best fit. So remember, focus on the goal of the call and understand there will be smoke screens. There will be objections all throughout the call. And understanding that, hey, that's just how this business is, will prepare you for it. Have your way and try different things. What I said to Rich in our little role play is very, very similar to almost every single call that I do, because that's kind of how they operate. Now, you can't do anything for people who said not interested and they just hang up. Nothing you can do about that. But if they're not hanging up on you, then just navigate your way by getting your foot in the door. So what else, Rich?
Well, and I want to add this too, David, to in every time that I'd make a sale and I start doing an application and it's going so smoothly, like nothing's this is the perfect lead, you think in your mind. It never fails, and now I recognize it, because I've had some that are so perfect that I'm literally could be doing an app in 3 minutes. And normally, we're more like, I'd say David's probably 7 to 8 minutes before we're under 13 minutes for sure before he closes. But I've had some that go so fast because they're just the perfect lead. Inevitably, those are the ones that just drop off the phone. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, the best sales and the best clients are the ones that do give you a little bit of a smoke screen. But I think so many people probably on this call are missing those, because they're getting the smoke screen and then they're just hanging up the phone. So I just want to point that out. In other words, it's good to get a little bit of smoke screen. It's natural. It's part of the process.
100% agree with that. So embrace the challenge. Expect it. You know, like Rich said, a lot of the – I mean, there are low-hanging fruit that just want it. But
there are,
that's the exception, not the rule. And like you said, a lot of the time when people are saying yes, 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 and it's just flowing through, they've lied to you the whole time, and they may not even be interested, and you'll get to the end, and they'll either hang up or they're not eligible, then they'll hang up. So sometimes when it's too easy, it's too good to be true. A lot of the – and just like when it seems too difficult, often those are the best leads.
Yep. Now, I will say in every batch of, like, let's say you have 75 leads or whatever, you're going to have one at least, but two that are probably like, they legitimately are a laydown. I mean, they're so easy that really all you got to do is just not screw it up. I mean, you're going to write an app, okay? But to get yourself to where we're talking about on the drive for 35, to get yourself into the six range, let's say, you got to expect that at least half those sales are going to be people you close through a smokescreen. Just another way to look at it. So you might get one or two, but you can't scale that. You can drive for 35, but if you're going to move yourself towards the 5 to 6 range, and maybe some of you are 7, 8, 9, whatever, but to do that, you've got to get past smoke screens.
Yep. And remember, especially if you're new, and I know Rich has talked to a lot of the new people about this, but remember, when you're starting out, and not even to where we are now, it's so process focused. It's not, I need to hit X amount of apps. If I need to hit my activity, I need to hit my targets. And what I mean by that is when you're starting out, get through the outline and make the quotes. That is a successful day. If you're not closing them, it's easy to pinpoint where you need to be better. It's closing, because there is a science and a skill and a technique to becoming a better closer. But if you're getting through and you're quoting and you're actually getting through the outline, I'm not saying just, hey, they answered and you quoted them because they asked you the cheapest price. You know, I'm talking about you're working through your outline and you're getting through the quote. Boom, you hit your activities. You're hitting your activity, and you need to be proud of that. And then if you're hitting your numbers but you're not hitting your sales, that's when we put the next piece in on getting you a little bit better, 1%. But you got to focus on the activity, and that will never change. It'll never, ever, ever change. It's always activity-based. The production will always follow the activity. So if you have a very clear goal and you implement daily targets, how many quotes does it take to get you a sale? How many dials do you need to make to get a sale? And you focus on those things, then you will get better because, you know, you may not get – like Rich said, do not compare yourself to anyone. That is the thief of joy. We all know that, and we're all guilty of it. Me more so than most people, I'm sure. If you focus on getting a little bit better, don't worry about, you know, trying to become a $50,000 producer in your first month. It would be great, but as long as you're making progress, you know, Warren Buffett didn't become a billionaire in the first year or 10 years. But what he has done and had continued to do is make a little changes in progress and stayed patient. And he was relentlessly and is relentlessly consistent. If you're consistent and you put in the activity, you'll get better. And then we just add one little piece at a time. And like we always say, it's about progress. And if you can get 1% better every day, then you will make a big, big difference over 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and so forth. So just focus on your objectives. And when you're starting out, especially on this, you know, focus on that upfront smoke screen. Work to, okay, can I get through these calls and get to the quote? Can I get through these calls and get to the quote? Then you can start pinpointing what's the next area you need to work on. You know, don't go try to work on every single tool in the business. One thing at a time, just like we talk about on every call, take one thing away. You know, listen to all of it, absorb all of it, but take one thing and implement it, because that's a really good key to progress. Simplify to multiply was our motto. And then if you're dialing, always be dialing, and you actually are intentional about what you're trying to improve upon, then you will get better. So that's really what I wanted to close on, Rich. I know it's getting dial time, but is there anything
else? Oh, we got to get on it. But hey, guy, that was awesome, David. And just so you see the big picture, I want to end with drive for 35. I want all of you to know you can master this. Once you can drive for 35 successfully, now watch this. Hey, David, if I said I will bet you, assuming tomorrow, I know tomorrow's Saturday, but if you had to work on Saturday, if I said, David, I'll bet you $10,000 if you can drive for 35 between now and the end of Saturday, how confident are you that you could drive for 35 in 2 days?
100%.
100%. Why? Because you do that. That's what you do. So I'm just trying to make a point to say, guys, what we do is this is how you do it and how you scale up. We want to change, like, you, once you can drive for 35, you can compress the time frame. You can do it every couple of days. And guess what? That's how you start writing 3 to 4 apps. That's the secret.
One more time, just Chris got here, and he missed the very beginning. Would you just shortly, you know, recap of what Drive for 35 is?
So Drive for 35, you can go to SLG team, go to the resources page. There's a document called Drive for 35. The whole idea of Drive for 35 is driving for 35 quotes and using your activity tracker to track your dials and quotes. But that's the, sort of like a building block. And the goal out of 35 quotes is to find yourself getting into a 5 to 6 sale range out of every 35 quotes. If you're new, you might only sell 1 or 2 or 3. That's fine. You're not going to be as profitable, but you're going to learn how to get yourself into a position by being on these calls and everything we talked about today of getting into a range of getting 5 to 6 quotes on out of 35. Some of you do a lot more. There's some of you that'll close 9 out of 35. But once you know how to drive for 35, then it's just how fast do you want to do it. He who can drive for 35 the most is going to write the most business. And that's why I asked about David, because David can drive for 35 in 2 days. That's how he sells more apps. It's as simple as that. If you want to drive, but if you're part-time and you want to drive for 35 over 2 weeks, which anybody can do it over 2 weeks, that means 35 quotes over a two-week period, you should be able to find yourself writing 2 to 3 apps a week. So that's Drive for 35. So did that help, David?
Yep, that was perfect. Awesome. Well, y'all have a great
day. All right, guys.
Get out there and crush it.
All right, see you on Slack.